ahead and open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2 tonight. Luke chapter 2, we're not going to have a special. We might sing a song at the close of the service in just a little bit. Chris, one more Christmas song before we go home. How many of you who are visiting for the holiday, you'll be gone before Sunday? Would you raise your hand if you're going to be gone? You're visiting. The Reynolds will be gone before Sunday. And Matt and Heather, of course, and the Williamses. So if you haven't spoken to these folks, be sure you do that because they would be on their way back home before Sunday. Luke chapter 2, let's pray together tonight. And just I have a very simple thought. In fact, it's going to be a repeat for some of you who were at the Jubilee class party just a couple weeks ago. I kind of tweaked it and did it for my staff devotion. Actually did it at college, and hadn't planned on bringing it tonight, but it's just, it's kind of been on my mind these days, and so I thought I'd share it with us tonight. We're not going to be here long. I appreciate you coming out. This is a wonderful crowd, and appreciate your faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll please bless your word tonight and what we're going to talk about, and Lord, thank you again for this precious, precious season and the opportunity that it provides us to think of you and to think of Christ. And I think, Lord, about how many people in our church raised their hand on Sunday night that they were going to be with lost friends or relatives over this holiday. And, Lord, some even now already with those relatives. And I pray that you'll give them wisdom and power. And, Lord, I pray that an effective witness, either verbally or just with the life, could be made over these days. Help me tonight to be a blessing to our church. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. I'm going to read Luke 2, beginning with verse number 8. Will you follow along? And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Great passage, isn't it wonderful? You know, the main object of the Christmas story in this passage that we just read is the babe. The babe. You find those words twice. You find them in verse 12 and you find them in verse 16. The angel told the shepherds, ye shall find the babe. And then the shepherds went and they found the babe exactly as they were told by the angelic messengers. So the babe, of course, is Jesus Christ. Here he is, God the Son, Son of God. And now in Bethlehem's manger, he becomes the Son of Man. You know, I was doing a little study the other day. Jesus is referred by to as three different titles or names frequently in the Gospels. He's called the Son of David. He's called the Son of God. And he's called the Son of Man. Do you know he's referred to as the Son of Man almost 90 times? He's referred to as the Son of Man more than he's referred to as the Son of God. He's referred to as the Son of Man more than he's referred to as the Son of David. The Son of David is his Jewish name, his racial heritage as a Jew. The Son of God is his deity name. And the Son of Man is his humanity name. He referred to himself by that title when he spoke of himself, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And other passages where he referred to himself as the Son of Man. And friend, don't get over, as I said, I prayed to the Lord, what great condescension that God would become man in Bethlehem's manger. And Jesus did not begin to exist in Bethlehem's manger. He is from everlasting to everlasting. But he began to exist in a body in the womb of Mary and was born into this world at this time in this story here, at the babe in the manger. Now, I want you to pause on that thought right there, the babe, just for a minute. Pause there And let me read to you a verse, and we're going to come back to it. Let me read to you a verse, Psalm 90, verse 9, where the psalmist said this, "We spend our years as a tale that is told." We spend our years as a tale that is told. That's not hard to understand. That's not difficult to comprehend. Our lives are a story. Our lives are a story. And each one of us is spending our years writing a story. Not with pen and ink, but with flesh and blood. Real life experiences. That's true about every person in this room. That's true about every person who's ever lived, every person who will live. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And I've been thinking this Christmas season that, you know, all of our stories include chapters about Christmas. And there are all kinds of stories about Christmas that the lives in this room have written. You've got as many chapters about Christmas in your life's story as you are old. I'm 57, soon to be 58. My life has written 57 chapters on the subject of Christmas in the years that I have lived. Of course, some of those early Christmases and chapters I don't remember as a little baby. And it's hard for me to even have a first remembrance. What my first remembrance was, but I do remember Christmases as a child. And that's true about you, whether or not you're older than me, my age, younger than me, a teenager, or an elementary school young person in the church. Your tale, your years, your life has written as many chapters about Christmas as you are old. Now think about the chapters and what those stories include. I think about, you know, of course they include gifts. Gifts. Christmas is a time of giving. And gift giving is very prominent at Christmas time. And, you know, gifts back when I was a kid were in keeping with the times. And obviously we got more than our grandparents did. I think the children today get more than we did. I guess everybody feels that way. But I know that, you know, I know that in two generations before me, and some of you are the age of that my grandparents were. Well, I guess some of you would be close to that age, not all of you. But Meemaw, I remember I've told before her story growing up in poverty there in Tennessee, and I mean real poverty. I don't mean poverty like we know today, but real poverty, like some of your grandparents grew up back in those days. And their Christmas gift was a simple little shoebox with an apple and an orange and two or three pieces of hard candy. And that was it. And they were just as excited to get that box with that apple and that orange and those two or three pieces of hard candy as the kids are today who get their electronic things and motorized things. They were just as happy, even though it was a simple, simple Christmas for them. But I think with Christmas, I know that the chapters that my life story has written about Christmas include the subject of gifts. I know that the chapters of my life story about Christmas and your life story about Christmas include decorations. And I might have mentioned this already, but I can recall the folks dragging out the boxes that had been stored and not touched since the previous Christmas celebration. They came out for Christmas. They contained Christmas decorations. The decorations were put up. And when Christmas was over, they were put back in the box. The boxes were stored again, wouldn't be touched until the next Christmas. And I recall that. And we didn't have totes. We didn't have tubs. All we had was cardboard boxes, the big boxes that held the little boxes of Christmas decorations. And I might have said this already, but I can remember the lights in those days were not like the lights as we know now, but the lights were the screw-in bulbs. And you had this wire, I'm talking about dangerous as all get out. You had this wire that you just kind of wrapped around the tree, and the little lights were the size of night lights. And they were red and yellow and blue and green and gold, and you would screw those in. And they'd clip to the tree. You had a little clip on the socket, and you just clipped it to a branch. And they were heavy. Because the sockets were heavy and the light bulbs were heavy, and all the trees looked like Charlie Brown's tree back in those days. Had the drooping branches, you know. But I remember the lights and the decorations, and I don't see this much anymore. I don't do a lot of shopping in the stores, but the icicles were a big thing back when I was a boy. Those were shiny silver things, and I don't know what they're made of, but they're called icicles. And you drooped them all over the tree branches, and maybe people still do that. We haven't done it in years. I haven't seen those things for years and years. Maybe you still do that. But when I think about the chapters that our lives have written about Christmas, I think about gifts. I think about decorations. When I think about the chapters that our lives have written about Christmas, I think about the Christmas dinner. Ah, yes, the Christmas dinner. Dinner was a great time. And it was either at your house or one of your relatives' houses, maybe grandma's or grandpa's house. And you walked in and the aroma of the turkey or the ham cooking in the oven filled the house. And you know, Christmas time, there were certain foods that you only ate at Christmas. You never had them any other time of the year. You only had them at Christmas time. And I can remember my mother making this stuffed celery, and where she would take celery, and she wouldn't use peanut butter, but she used a cream cheese and other stuff. And we never had it only at Christmas. And cranberry, she made some kind of cranberry salad with real cranberries. And we never had that any other time of the year except for at Christmas. It was reserved for Christmas dinner. She made this three or four colored Jello. And she'd make a red velvet layer cake. Never had it any other time of the year. Only at Christmas. It was part of the Christmas dinner. When I think about the chapters that our lives have written about Christmas, I think about family. How can you remember chapters, or how can you look back on chapters that your life has written about Christmas and not think about family? I think about family members that we know. It was that time of year where you saw that favorite uncle, or you saw that favorite aunt. And my mother's brother YT lived up in Baltimore, and with his wife and two daughters, and he was only he's only like 13 years older than me, and I could have been my brother. And our kids were spread apart more than 13 years, and YT was like an older brother to me and Tim and Tom. And we always looked forward. We would play living room football when YT came on our knees. Usually when my mother was away shopping, he would get on the floor. We'd put all the furniture out of the way, and inevitably a lamp or a table leg or something would get beaten up in that living room football. But it's that time of the year when you see that aunt or uncle or maybe that favorite cousin. And, you know, it's miles and miles and miles of geography that separate you all year long. But Christmas was different. Christmas was when everybody got together. Christmas was when everybody came. I think about the gifts that the chapters about Christmases have written. I think about the decorations. I think about the dinner. I think about the family. And when I think about the chapters on Christmas that our lives have written, I think about the babe. Because all of the Christmas chapters that our lives have written include the babe. If it were not for the babe, there'd be no Christmas. Not for the babe. Even the unsaved sang away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. Even the unsaved sang, "Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright." The babe was always a central part of all the chapters that our lives have written about Christmas. The babe. We spend our years as a tale that is told, writing a story with a bunch of different chapters. And how many chapters has your life story written about Christmas? How many chapters has my life story written about Christmas and the gifts and the dinner and the decoration and the family? But always the babe. Always the baby. And much has changed for some of us from Christmases long ago. You know, the gifts have changed. That we've gone from an apple and an orange and two pieces of hard candy to electronic devices and and motorized things, and it's all high tech, and it's all just seems like it's just changed. Oh, there are still some of the old standard gifts, ties and socks, I guess. But the gifts have changed in nature. I know this, the decorations have changed in nature. Man, now you got the LED lights, and you got all the inflatables and the lawn ornaments that people... I passed by a house the other day. I'm going to tell you something. They had every character, every lawn, every inflatable character that you could possibly think of for Christmas time. And all of them were blowing up except for one. Was the fan wasn't working, or they'd blown a breaker or something. And I think about the decorations have changed. You know, the dinners have changed somewhat. Oh, yeah, we still have turkey and ham. But listen, if you think back, if you're of any age whatsoever, and you think back, some of the dishes died out when the person responsible for making them passed away. Now, for me, and y'all shaking your head, some of you, and I'm the one talking, I wish I could hear all the stories. It'd be fun to hear your story. But for me, it was Meemaw made this stuff called ambrosia. Anybody ever had that stuff? It's not, I wouldn't go look it up. It's not, I mean, it was, we ate it because she made it. But if I'm right, it's like orange and lemon and pineapple and coconut. And she used to make these hard, hard cookies. And you'd eat this ambrosia stuff. But you know what? When Meemaw passed, ambrosia passed. I was sad to see Meemaw pass. It didn't hurt me too bad to have ambrosia pass, to be honest with you. But you think about it. Some dishes, some dishes die when the maker passes on. They die with that person. There are some staples at the dinner tables that will not change, but some of the side dishes are gone. And you know what? The people have changed as well. For me, grandparents have been replaced by grandkids. All my grandparents are in heaven now, and those little grandkids have come. Some of the family members are not there because they preceded us to heaven. And some of the seats at the table are now empty. That's change. Gifts have changed. Decorations have changed. Dinners have changed. Family has changed. One thing has not changed. There's one unchangeable thing over time about Christmas, and that's the babe. The babe stays the same. Christmas is still about Jesus. We still sing, "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head." We still sing, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." The nativity scene is still displayed. With or without the barn, with or without shepherds, with or without wise men. Some people's nativity scenes have the wise men, some don't. Some have donkeys, some do not. Some have sheep, some do not. With or without the cow, some have an angel, some do not. Some have a star, some do not. Some have Joseph, and some don't have Joseph, and some have Mary, and some don't have Mary, but all nativity scenes always have the baby. It wouldn't be a nativity scene without the baby. Christmas is about Christ. The Christmas chapters that our lives have written have always included the babe. Christmas is past, and hopefully Christmas's future will be about the babe. Christmas's past have been about the babe. Christmas's future hopefully will be about the babe. But I'm not promised next year. I'm not promised December 2016. Neither are you. So you know what that means? I want to make certain that this year's Christmas is about the baby. I can't do anything about Christmas's past. I may not be around for Christmas next year. But if all goes as planned, in the next couple of days, we'll celebrate Christmas. And on Thursday, amidst all the excitement and buzz and family and food, I hope you'll remember sometime it's about the babe. It's about Christ. And I mean, sit for a few minutes and think about Him coming from heaven to earth. Think about Him being on this earth for 33 and a half years, dying, being buried, coming out of that grave, making salvation available to all of us. Think about that. Don't let Christmas pass without making it about the babe. The baby. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Heavenly Father, would You please help us as Your people not to make the mistake of celebrating Christmas with family, friends, dinner, food, decorations, gifts, and overlooking the most important aspect. We get so busy and the day gets hurried on so fast. Please don't let us overlook Christ. Help us, Lord, to set aside those moments. They may be few in number. Set aside some time, some moment or two on Thursday. Amidst all the gift giving and the food and the decorations and the family, help us not to forget the babe. The babe. Make it real to us for another Christmas day, I pray. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, just a verse and we're going to be done tonight.